DeleteMe makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online, having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online. It's all pretty scary stuff, right? With DeleteMe, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for DeleteMe now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your DeleteMe plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We have a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. From setting a post or pouring a walkway to installing concrete block or natural stone. We've got the mix you need in stock today. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Get it? The Burt Show.
I'm always a little nervous when we're asking guys to call up for brutal honesty. I think as a general rule, women put themselves out there on the voice disguise or a little bit more than guys will.
And especially when it comes to sexual myth busting, guys usually don't call themselves out in any vulnerable way when it comes to sex either, I don't think.
I mean, that's the source of our ego right there, you know? But if we could just get one or two calls, is what we're banking on, I think it would be very insightful for women.
Okay.
And the myth that we're looking at today is guys can't fake the big O.
Okay.
You think that it's, logically, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Can't. I mean, there's a bit of a difference there between a woman and a guy.
There's evidence, so to speak.
Evidence.
Mm-hmm.
There's ways to hide the evidence, right?
No, actually.
Even if there's protection involved?
I'm out
involved?
Of this conversation.
But I mean, still, 404-741-Q100. If you're a guy and you've ever faked that, I mean, is it possible or not? I know it's possible because I know my brother-in-law has done that. He and my sister-in-law... they were talking about her getting pregnant, and they agreed on it. He told this to me in front of her and my wife.
Really?
While she was pregnant. Now she's pregnant, and this conversation comes up.
Jeez.
And he confesses to her that even though they had agreed upon it, he's still sort of sketched out by the idea of becoming a father. So when she would call him when she knew that it was time, he'd go through the motions and everything. And then fake it. I mean, he'd make the noises and everything else.
And she believed it?
She believed it for weeks and weeks and weeks, so much so that she called my wife up and she's like, can I ask you a question about Bert? Sometimes during that, is there like a dry, even though he does nothing, there's no evidence like you said?
Oh, and
or very, very,
going,
very, very
are
little.
You
and
talking
she's like,
about?
What are you talking about?
Oh.
And it went on for weeks and... We couldn't figure it out at all, really.
Aww.
And then he finally confessed and said, yeah. And there's a technique that he used to make it appear as though there was evidence, even though it wasn't.
What did
Yes, this would be interesting to learn
what
about.
What technique? Spit?
Aww.
And then put it on the sheets.
I mean, that's a loogie.
That is a long way to go, rather than just being honest that you don't have a baby.
Yeah. I think they had agreed upon it already, so...
Just so you know, I just passed judgment on your sister-in-law for not being able to tell the difference between spit and
evidence.
It sounds like there's a partnership between a guy that fakes it and a really dumb girl.
Like, maybe that's the better question if you're a woman.
And you believe
and
that
he told
faked.
You he really was, you knew he wasn't. Actually, we got a lot of dudes on the phone saying that either you can or you cannot get away with that.
Okay.
But, I mean, there's one pure way to know, and it...
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't need to be
but
said,
my,
right?
My thought, but I, Jen, it was
could
nice
you really and... buy that? The whole, you know, like spitting and then...
No. Maybe once, but not more than that.
Yeah, it was weeks we're talking about.
Now, how can it... Now, you said that it would not be possible even with the... protection. Don't know why I have to say that with an accent.
Yeah.
We always have to say if you're wearing a condom. Weird with
like,
you.
Same thing. Maybe once, but then if you're curious, you investigate. There's ways to investigate that.
Let it go. Let it go. CSI dollar.
Just ew, that's not a CSI investigation. No.
It probably would have to be. All right, the phone lines are lit up with dudes that have done light? This very thing. So if that's the myth, I think we're going to dispel it today. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Berkshire.
Morning. The myth is guys can't fake that.
Yeah, I've faked it both ways. I faked having an orgasm and not having an orgasm.
You faked not?
Now the impressive one is faking not doing it.
Yeah, let's talk.
Yeah, I was more impressed by that one. when I was younger, I was pretty promiscuous, and I was with a girl that would not let me because of lack of birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically just let it go and kept an absolute straight face and kept a lot of control. And
but
she had
would,
no clue.
How could she not have a clue?
Well, a lot of the, I don't know about everybody else, but a lot of the women that I've been with have been very wet, so it really didn't matter.
Yeah, that's too early. Too early.
We got to think of better ways around some of this stuff, because, yeah, it is too early for just that word. Okay, so it would be, I think we got you.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Still, there's impressive. A difference.
Yeah.
There is. And wouldn't most women know the difference?
Yes, I would think so. If you were aware or you were paying attention, you would know.
Can we pretty much conclude here that, because we're going to take more calls from guys that are all about to tell you women that, yes, it can be done successfully.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it can only be done successfully because a woman wants to believe.
Again, going back to the dumb girl.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's that dumb. No woman is that dumb where you couldn't tell,
I mean, with wishful thinking, like your sister-in-law who wanted to have a baby so badly and was just so excited about it, like her mind could play tricks on her. I get that. But if you are being CSI like Jeff and you're trying to figure out if he...
Wait a minute. I was just asking questions for the sake of the radio.
That last guy?
Mm-hmm.
You can figure that out.
Sure.
You know what I mean? If you're like real... I mean, he said his girlfriend was real paranoid about getting pregnant and she wasn't on birth control, whatever. If you're focused and you're paying attention, you could figure it out. But if you're focused the other way and you really wanted to... then I think your mind
can we also say this is an age thing, too? Like, if you're 17 years old and you don't have nearly as much experience, then maybe everything's sort of a new experience. And
let's go with 18, but yeah.
18, okay.
Yeah, I think we've learned much longer.
Yeah, that's late. Or
12.
You're right. But I agree with you on that, but also, like with Jen, what guys probably don't understand is that if women are freaked out about getting pregnant, they're obsessed with it every time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. Mm-hmm. So she is aware of everything that's going on. I think it's more of just trying to psych herself out.
Nick, guys can't fake that.
Oh, yeah, they can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've done this pretty successfully.
Again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, they can. Well, it's more of when the previous caller said one thing. You kind of tell them that's where you put it. Trying to be nice. So, it's, you can, especially because they look there and it's from them.
Ah.
So.
Oh. Okay. Same thing the last guy said.
Yeah.
Okay. He was trying not to go over the line.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. It's really hard to talk about it without talking about this.
Yeah.
Good morning, Joey. You're on The Voice Disguiser.
Hi there. I was just going to say that it's very easily done with protection. Very easily done. I've done it several times. Due to it just takes longer with protection, just get tired and bored.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest thing about it is most of them come with lubrication, and if it's a girl that's not got a lot of experience, you can just easily just pull it off and be like, oh yeah, there it is, and then throw it out.
I mean, and she knows?
No,
you would think that a woman would know the difference there.
Well, like I said, you know, a very experienced woman would know the difference, but most girls that are younger, I'm younger, nobody ever asking questions. They're just kind of happy that, you know, it happened, whatever. It's all good. I can see a little bit in there, throw it out.
So you're putting on like an Academy Award also. Like you're making all the sounds. Your body is moving like it's really going on, but you're totally faking it.
Oh, yeah. Just completely bored out of my mind, ready to get this over with.
My follow-up question is that girls have always been told that that would hurt a man afterwards. Like, how long does it take for you to not be in pain anymore? I mean, or is it not painful?
Can't answer that.
It really depends. I mean, it just, you know, it is painful to a certain extent, but it's more of a sensitive thing. You know, just don't want nothing touching it, or, you know, on the real instances and stuff. But
sometimes it hurts, sometimes it doesn't.
Oh.
Should have a contest and, like, guys act it out and Jen could judge them.
Air sex competition.
Right.
Act out what?
Sometimes, I know what that dude's saying, though.
Ooh.
Like, sometimes there are just times you can't, and after a while you're just like, the fun of this is over, and I think we're both working to a goal here that we know is not going to happen, so rather than just acknowledge it, what he's saying is he's just going to try to fake his way through it. That's about as sensitive as I can be there.
Mm-hmm. That's the same reason women do it.
Right, same thing. Hey, Justin, you're on The Voice Disguiser.
Hey, man.
Hey.
I mean, it's easy to do. I've done it with protection, without protection. You know, there's been, like, a time where, you know, I've pleased myself, you know, about an hour or so before, and, you know, guys can only go, you know, once every few hours, I guess you could say. And, you know, if it's dark, you just lay a towel down and, you know, finish, you know.
Gotcha. All right. So,
amongst talk with some of my friends, they have said if a guy does that too much by himself, that then he's no longer has any mojo with her.
He's got nothing left in the tank.
Or just
it takes away from it. Mm-hmm.
So I had a friend that was having some issues, and all the girls around the table who were talking about the issues she was having were saying, "Does he do that too much?" And that was the consensus. Yes, if he does that too much, then you're going to have the problem that you're having.
Gotcha. Well, if we were trying to dispel that myth this morning, then yes, we know that guys absolutely can, because they're still lit up. So guys are as good at faking it as women are, I guess.
That's messed up.
That is jacked up.
Well, guys have to make more effort to fake it.
Totally.
So. Finally, they have to make more effort.
It's tough being a guy.
It's not easy.
Get it. The Bird Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
All right, let me give you the details about this party, and then we'll forget about the details of this party, and we'll talk more broadly. So there are a bunch of parents up in North Dakota, and they want to hold a safe grad party, and here's their deal. You know, you've heard of these before, where, you know, there's always the quote-unquote cool parent on the block.
Whatever.
That allows... Yeah, Melissa's got she's going to take a hard stand on this. She has for years. There's always the cool quote-unquote parent on the block that will allow kids to drink alcohol under their supervision. And the theory here, obviously, is that it's safe so long as there's an adult around and they're watching everybody, because they're going to drink on the streets anyway. And rather than get into a car and get into trouble that way, if they're in the house, then the adults can take a look at them and make sure everything's cool. Well, this one group up in North Dakota wants to make it a little bit bigger than that. They want to have a safe grad party. And the graduates who are planning to attend the drinking party had to submit a form, and their parents had to sign it in advance of the party. The graduates had to pre-order and prepay for the alcohol that they were going to drink, and the party was going to take place from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m., the graduates and their guests have to be in the 10th grade or higher. So it's not just for the actual graduates. You can bring some friends with you if you want. Also,
16-year-olds.
That's 15 and 16.
15 and 16. Is that what 10th grade is?
And older.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can bring them with you also, but it's going to be supervised here, and you'll be allowed up to 10 drinks. That's it.
10 alcoholic drinks.
No, 10 drinks. Yeah. The drinks include beer, vodka, rum, and rye.
What?
I am not making this up, y'all.
I can't even drink 10.
Wow.
10 drinks.
And you're a professional.
I know.
You do that for a living.
I know.
The president of MAD, obviously, is having a big time problem with this. She said that many alcoholic drinks at one time is considered binge drinking. The definition of binge drinking is 5 or more drinks, but 10 drinks. Everybody's allowed to have 10 drinks.
Wow.
Regardless of whether, I mean, they get the parents' permission or not, it's still illegal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know how they're getting around that. Sometimes, yeah, you ask me questions.
Serve alcohol to a minor is illegal.
I don't know in this community what the details are and how they got the okay on it, but they are planning on holding this safe grad party. So let's take the 10 drinks part out of it, because obviously, I mean, when you're talking 10 drinks, you're talking puking drunk.
Oh, yeah,
of course.
And addressing the legalities of it, because I believe this came up, we've talked about this on the air before, and maybe I'm totally wrong, but somebody called up to say that in Georgia, like, you can serve alcoholic drinks to a minor in your own home if the guardian is present or something like that.
Somebody will call
it considered like a private club that you have a membership to or something like
that? There's some whatever that people were calling up to say. I remember them justifying it. And maybe it wasn't in Georgia, but somewhere in the country there was this law that, you know, whatever. And
I think that's how they justify it with celebrities, underage celebrities that go to clubs, because the clubs are considered like private membership places. So they can let someone in that's under 21.
But this would
be a private
home. I don't
know about the serving alcohol part.
I would like the form at that party, I'm sure, had something. I mean, because they somehow found a loophole wherever this party is, but still.
Yeah, let's take out the 10 drinking thing, 10 drinks thing, because that's not even debatable. I mean, there's nobody that's going to say 10 drinks, that's fine. But just the theory of having a safe grad party and having all these students there under adult supervision. Again, look, yeah, they're going to get drunk, but, you know, would you rather them get drunk in some field somewhere and then drive home? Or would you rather have a whole bunch of adults there going, okay, I'm watching what's going on?
I guess my issue in the past we've talked about is that one particular parent. You know what I mean? Like the cool parent theory, because I just don't buy into that any parent can be the cool parent. Like when you're trying to understand a teenager's perspective and they come talk to me, you know, and they can drink around me and I... For some reason, I think less of that parent because I just don't think you can be a cool parent. But I also understand the concept. Well, if they're going to drink, I'd rather them not get killed at 18 on the road. I don't know.
I have two different perspectives on it. When I was a teenager, we had a Halloween party and it was at a home where it was one of those parents that said, I'd rather you come here. They had a big house and then a pool house out in the back, right? So all the teenagers went to the pool house. The mom knew that there was alcohol there, but she wasn't there. She was just in the bigger house and let all the teenagers be in the pool party house. And some of us drank so much that they ended up like calling an ambulance, right? I got an ambulance called on me because I drank so much.
Seriously?
Now, at that age, I was like probably
a
sophomore.
How do we know each other for 7 or 8 years? And this is the first time you talk about that.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just okay to admit my faults these days. But
she graduated from therapist school last week. So
that's
now she's
it.
Right.
That's
but
it.
Yeah, my friends got so worried that I was sick. And they're also 15, so they don't, I guess, didn't realize that, you know, all of us at 15, if you're throwing up, that's just what happens when you've had too many beers at 15, which was probably 3.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That you vomiting in your shoes and flirting with every guy is just standard issue drinking for you.
What do you mean? Nowadays?
Every day. All the time.
Oh, yeah. But she's legal now. So what I'm saying is that if the parents aren't really supervising, the kids are drinking too much and getting into trouble anyway.
I think as a parent, I understand it. When Hayden gets to the age where if somebody... one of the parents wants to throw one of these parties. For me, the determining factor is knowing the parent.
Do I know that parent? Do I know they're really going to be there hanging out with everyone? Because then, on the flip side of it, I went to parties underage in high school, whatever, where there weren't any parents there. Everybody stayed out way past curfew and drank way too much and then drove. So, like, so I don't know which is the better of two evils, to have a parent there if something bad happens or to let them go and figure it out and get in trouble on their own? I don't know.
As a parent now, honestly, I think I would probably endorse it if the parent was responsible. Just knowing what I'm the same as you. I should be dead 15 times from how many times I drank and I drove in high school.
Got in the car with somebody else who had been drinking.
Right. You know, and if the parent is responsible enough to actually hover over the kids, then I can endorse it. But you really have to know the parent pretty well.
Yeah, but, and also don't believe the kids are going to party like they would with a parent hovering over them, and then they leave that party, and then they go party again anyway.
Well, I think the rule is that if you're staying.
Right,
but then you have to watch them all night long, because then you're talking about all sorts of other stuff going on all night long.
And then if they ever get in trouble, and I guess also an argument, if they get in trouble anywhere else for drinking too much outside of that party and get in trouble, they're like, well, you can't punish me now because you knew I was drinking because you let me drink at your party.
Yeah, you can't draw that line, though, for your kid and go, look, yeah, I mean, I let you drink, but it was under parent supervision. So there could be a difference. There could be an argument with your kid on it.
I don't know. I don't know how the kid would interpret that.
Hey, Amanda, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to call and let you know on that Georgia law. I work for SunTrust Bank in Henry County, and one of our officers actually did come in and tell us that if the adult is 25 or over, minors between the ages of 17 and 21 are allowed to drink in their own home as long as the adult is 25 or over.
In their own home?
In their own home, yes. As long as, and they didn't specify whether it was your own children or not, but as long as that adult is 25 or over, then it's fine.
Really?
Wow.
In their own home.
Huh, okay.
In their own home.
Just for future calls to the station, you don't always have to identify your employer. I'm sure SunTrust is like, excellent.
Right.
Yeah, represent Henry County, what's up?
It was the SunTrust in Henry County.
Right. SunTrust, Henry County, what's up? Drinking your house. What's up, SunTrust?
Hey, Kim, safe grad parties.
Huh?
Safe grad parties.
Yeah, that is actually legal.
It is legal.
Yeah, when I was in eighth grade, we actually had an officer come into our school and to talk about, you know, drugs and underage drinking and everything. And it's legal as long as you have your parents' permission. You're under adult supervision in a home, not out in a bar or anything like that. You have to be in your home.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Intern Joanna has something to say.
I'm going to call that is not true, because when I was in high school, I had the bright idea to throw a party at my house with kegs and beer, and my parents were home, and my parents didn't know about it because we had a basement, and everyone just came in through the side. I said I was having a party.
How many people did you have at this party?
I probably had they knew that I was having a party. They didn't know that the beer was there because I snuck it in when they weren't there. And my parents
were
upstairs.
That right there is bold.
Serious.
Yeah, well, my parents are a little different. We got to drink at home, but it was like a glass of wine here and there. So I had kegs, I had beer. My parents were upstairs. They were sleeping, and the cops showed up, and everyone had to leave because it's illegal. You're underage, whether your parents know it or not. It's illegal, and my mother could have gone to jail for it. She could have gotten a lot of trouble. She works for the school. She could have gotten fired from her job. There's so many things because the cop told us. He's like, the fact that your parents didn't know, I'm going to let you go on this, but your mom could be fired from work.
Wow.
She could be arrested, and you know, Lord knows what happened to you later when she gets back from jail.
and you will get an ass beating like you've never experienced before.
Yes.
All right. Outside of the Georgia thing, Sherry, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
I am one of the parents that I don't believe in partying with your kids. I have family members that actually partied with their kids. I don't believe in that. But I do think that it's a better idea to have your kids' friends drink in your home. I let my daughter go to parties where they drink at the people's houses. The parents are home. They usually have a list of the names of people that are invited, and the father actually stands there, and if your name's not on the list, you don't get to come in, and he also takes your keys. Mm-hmm. And the girls sleep upstairs, and the guys sleep downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're gay. If you're gay, the guy can sleep upstairs, because that's what happened to the last party.
Unless the guy's gay.
Unless he claimed he was gay.
Right.
Yeah,
so
well, no, we all know this one was.
Uh-huh. Sure.
I think it's a great idea, because growing up, I was always a designated driver. But I would much rather know that my daughter is safe at somebody's house than out drinking and having to drive home.
Yeah, I sort of feel the same way. I really do, you know?
I love that rule, too, about the the gay guy gets to sleep upstairs because I'm Adam Lambert at that party. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yes. Really? Really? I get to go up there? Seriously? Who wants to do a musical?
Because let me tell you something. If he's really gay, he's not telling you he's gay because he wants to sleep downstairs.
My only problem with this is, I mean, as the parent, you would really have to hover for 24 hours. It's not only about the alcohol, but it is staying up all night long, taking shifts and making sure that, you know, there's no sex going on upstairs or downstairs.
Nobody's sneaking their keys and leaving.
So what? So is it just for the, or is the argument just for a graduation party or a party in general? Because I think the idea that a parent does this and it would deter your kids from being rebellious outside is naive. Because my feeling is always that a teenager is a teenager and they always want to rebel. And so just because you have a safe party one night in which you allow them to drink and you're hovering over them and you watch them 24/7, if you think that that's going to keep them from being out in the field doing, you know, having a keg party out in the field or sneaking somewhere else the very next weekend, then you're naive.
I think you're right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's why I think there's the argument for some parents like, well, then by giving this safe party, are you showing them you're giving them permission to do all these things?
Well, and I think the one thing that is positive about it, though, is that it says you can talk about it with your kids because, I mean, my parents were so very strict. I didn't even feel like I could talk to them about drinking. So it was always something that was like sort of sneaky or whatever. Like, I feel like at least this party opens up the conversation about drinking. And it's not just like, no, it's bad. You're not going to do it. Never, ever. It's like, okay, if you're going to do it, here are the ramifications that you need to follow, you know? Or hear the ramifications from it if you don't follow the right rules.
Hey, Daphne, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. What's up?
I'm listening to this radio station. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, the opinions. What happened to children being children? What happened to I'm 27. I have a daughter. There's no way you're going to have a party at my house and there's going to be alcohol there and I'm going to condone it. I understand that children will be children, but, okay, all kids have at one point in their life gone out. You know, you've had a drink, your parents didn't know. What happened to kids being kids?
I'm not really sure what your point is.
Well, you're saying teenagers be teenagers. Is that what you're saying?
Like sneak a couple beers out of your parents' house and drink them in the woods near the end of the block.
Exactly, but let me tell you, when I turned 21 years old, I partied like there was no tomorrow. So I'm like a 16-year-old. At someone's house drinking, let me tell you, my mom, she was the queen of red light parties. Never, I laid my hand on my first alcoholic beverage when I was 18 at a party. That was the one beer that I had. I didn't have another one until I was 18. But now I feel like this is why kids get into the trouble that they get into nowadays because everything's acceptable. And I just don't think that's right.
Yeah, I think there's two ways to look at it. It's like, don't... Melissa raises a really good point also, is if you set the example inside the house, I mean, what can you say if they're drinking outside?
Right.
You know?
I mean,
so, I don't know.
The kids are going to do it anyways. Yeah, it's going to happen anyways. Peer pressure.
It's going to happen with or without the parties. Right, the parties don't keep it from happening. Right. It doesn't keep your teenager from being a teenager. And I don't know. I think that the idea of being, you know what, we're now open adults and we're cool, that means our kids are going to behave better. I think that's totally naive.
And it does take away some of the charm of sneaking a couple beers out of your parents' fridge and drinking them. And people go, oh, what if they drive? Well, you know what? Teach your kid not to. And then when you turn 21, then you can drink. Like, why do you have to be so spoiled that, oh, you graduated high school, so now you can drink? You can't. The law is 21. If you don't like that law, then teach your kids how to work to change it back to, what was it, 19?
It was 18 at one time.
I think we can all agree, though, even at this party, though, like allowing them to have 10 drinks.
Are you kidding me?
It's totally insane.
You're on The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data, keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
All right, Melissa told a story this morning in the news that I started to focus on. I don't know that I got all the details on it, but I think I want to ask a question based on a story that's coming out of Austell today.
That's right. A woman in Austell says a man stopped his assault on her after she began to pray out loud. The man apparently broke into her house, hit her head against a bathroom sink, was pushing her head into the toilet. And then she says he stopped when she started talking about Jesus' name and prayed for him to stop. And he was eventually arrested for kidnapping and assault, but he stopped as soon as she brought up religion.
This is what I wanted to ask you guys today, 404-741-Q100. Is there anybody listening right now that had their prayer to God instantly answered? Not one where the whole church prayed for you and then something really good happened 3 weeks later or 4 weeks later. In her case, she's getting the crap beat out of her.
Oof.
It doesn't look good at all.
It's horrible.
And so she's probably doing what a lot of us would do in that situation is, please, God, get me out of this, right? So she starts praying and then she verbalizes it and instantly God answers her prayer.
So
that's what I'm looking for.
Would this count? Like if you're driving to work going, please, God, I need something because they're going to cut off the electricity at my house. Please, God, help me do something. You pull into the gas station, buy one scratch-off ticket, win $500.
Absolutely. Same situation, but you call Q100 at 7:15 and you win the $1,000.
Yeah.
Like you pray, like it's 7:14, you're like, oh, you start dialing. God, please let me win this $1,000. I need it so badly. My kids need it so badly. And sure enough, you get through. Within 60 seconds, and you win the $1,000.
But it's got to be a legitimate prayer, because don't they always, like, don't call up and go, well, I was driving to work this morning, and I was running late, and I said, please, God, don't let there be any more red lights, and there weren't. Like, it's got to be a
something
solid,
impactful, right?
Significant, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Something really, really, really significant. Like, I'm thinking, like, somebody's on their deathbed or something, and you pray to God, please, not now, not now, not now, and then all of a sudden, their vitals start to go up.
Right.
You know, something like that impactful. Good morning, Kelly. You're on Q100.
Hi. I had an interesting story. It's not like death or life or anything, but I was getting married last May, and it was a beach wedding in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It was storming the entire day. I mean, raining, dark clouds, just rain, 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 rain. And I knew I was going to have to either cancel it or put it inside. And then basically, the wedding was at 6 p.m., 5:30. All the clouds disappeared and the sun came out. It was amazing.
Perfect.
It was like it was meant to be. And I'm a skeptic anyways. I don't pray that often. But that day, everyone, my family, my friends, and me, we were all praying and it worked out perfectly.
And you get like it instantly turned around.
Did it start raining after your ceremony? Like it just broke for that time period or it broke for the rest of the day?
It broke for the rest of the day.
That's awesome.
Really?
It was amazing.
Cool.
I mean, I have pictures of it looking just black and horrible. And then all my wedding ceremony pictures are beautiful.
Does that make you become more religious after that experience? Like, do you start going to church every Sunday after that?
No. But I am more of a believer.
You know what it would do for me? Like, if I, you know, in her situation, if I just needed good weather for something. Oh, please, let it just be sunny. I got great Braves tickets. Let it be sunny for the game because this is the only game I can go to this year. And then it clears up. I would be mad that I used my one prayer for a frivolous, you go and you have a great time and it's an awesome game and everything. But then you go, you realize driving home, you're like, seriously? I prayed for that. I mean, go Braves and all, but you know what I really need is like $5,000 for repairs on the house.
Too late.
At 404-741-Q100. Hey, Allison.
Hey, Bert.
Hey, Allison.
I can't believe I'm on the radio. This is so crazy.
We listen to the show back sometimes and say the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So what do you got?
I was playing softball in high school. And for my school, and I got up to bat, and I was like, please, Lord, just give me some power. And when I swung the bat, I hit the ball, it went in foul ball, but the bat broke in half. Like, I looked down, all I saw was what I was holding, and the other piece was up against the fence. I was like, oh, my God.
Was the second part of that, did you say it was a foul ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a foul ball. But it went right out in the outfield.
But you had some power.
But you did
That's
have power.
That's what you asked for.
But yeah, it was a foul ball.
You didn't you ask got what for you asked a hit. For. You asked for some power. Uh-huh. Got to be very clear.
Looking for something more impactful, you know? Does this sound like something that the fish would be doing this morning?
Every morning.
Taylor
for
the fish. Good morning, Q100.
Good morning. Hi, my name is Isis. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I have a really good story. God continuously answers my prayers. But when I was a junior in college, I was awarded an internship to go to the Cannes Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And it was about $2,000, and I definitely couldn't afford it. And my mom, the night before, she said a prayer. And she has this thing where she likes to pray when it's a big prayer. She prays in the middle of the night in front of an open window to God so that he can really hear her. The Aww. Next morning, my uncle calls and gives her a check for $2,000 so that I can go to the Cannes Film Festival for an internship. Completely out of the blue, she never asked it of him, just had mentioned that I had been awarded this internship. And the next day, he calls and gives us money for it.
Wow. That's awesome.
Cool.
That is so cool.
It really is. And again, does that make you more religious after something like that?
Well, throughout my life, God has just really always come through for me. So it didn't necessarily make me more religious. It just reaffirmed the belief that he definitely has my back.
I see. Mm-hmm. I got you. I think most people, you like when you make those agreements with God and then you get what you want.
That's usually when you're drunk.
Yeah.
God, if you get me through this night, I promise I'll never drink again.
Do most people, you think, follow through on their promise? Or
no.
They're like, well, thanks so much for that, but I'll get you next time.
Because they were drunk and they forget.
Good morning, Q100. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. This happened several years ago, but obviously I was not managing my money very well and had zero money in my account, and my insurance was about to be canceled. And I was praying to God. I was like, oh, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do to get me out of this, but, you know, I don't need my insurance canceled. You know, I promise I'll start managing my money better, all the things you usually pray for. Go to the bank to pull out whatever I had left, and there was an accidental deposit in my account for $5,000.
Come on, really?
Yeah, really. And well, obviously I had to pay it back. So I pulled out what money I needed and paid my bills, called the bank. The bank said, you know, it was an accident on our part. My money went into the negative, but it gave me a little time to keep my insurance from being canceled. And then, you know, was able to finally turn it back around. But yeah, they don't know how it happened, but there was an extra $5,000 in my account when I needed to pay my bills.
Now that's a cool story.
Really cool.
That's what I'm looking for right there. It just comes from nowhere.
Yep.
And it's temporary too, so it's almost like a test. Are you going to pay this back or not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was. And you know, you knew that that was what was going on. So yeah, it went into the negative, but it gave me that time to pay it back. I paid the bank back, and insurance was never canceled. So that was a definite testament.
Cool story. Awesome. Thank you for calling.
Just bought you some time.
Hey, Pam, good morning.
Good morning.
How are
morning.
You?
Good.
All right. When was your prayer, instantly answered?
Well, it wasn't instantly. It was overnight. But when my brother was younger, he was about 5 years old, he had cancer. And he had had about four or five operations. And the last operation that they were going to do, they didn't think he was going to survive. And Mom and Dad had the minister come in and pray for him. And the next morning, they had him all marked up for the surgery and everything. And they took an x-ray one more time before surgery. And when the x-ray came back, it was completely gone.
No kidding.
That's unbelievable.
Wow. That
is amazing.
You got the name still of that, alive today.
You got the name of that minister by any chance?
Right, we could all use him.
Wow. No kidding.
I've relayed that story to you with Stacy's mom and our missing passport, you know, when we were going on our honeymoon. We were going to go to Greece on our honeymoon, and the night before we were about to take off, Stacy realized we couldn't find our passports anywhere. So it was gone. We were going to stay somewhere in the States or whatever. And she tells her mom about it. And her mom prays to, I always forget this.
St. Anthony?
St. Anthony is the, right, saint of lost things or whatever. And her mom prays and then has a vision and calls Stacy back. And the words were literally this. Have you checked the green suitcase that's in your closet? And Stacy said, no, I haven't. She goes into the closet, sure enough, goes into the green suitcase, and there were the passports.
Wow.
Sitting right there, man.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, it wasn't instant. It was close, though.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't God. It was saints.
And it was saints, but somebody was working hard.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.